Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This evening's episode will discuss more of the Genesis flood event. And there are some important terms that I think one needs to understand in order to appreciate the Genesis narrative and where it is positioned in the Word of God. And so something happened, a decisive event took place, which is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis 3, if you remember, records the fall of the Adam and his wife. And so we read in Genesis 2 that the Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. And in fact, both the male and the female were called Adam. So they were, both of them were direct creations of God. So after Genesis 3 and the historic fall, then we read that the Adam created a son, or he had a child in his own image and likeness. And because there was now sin within humanity, that sin, a seed, becomes genetic. And the human family is summarily infected with sin. I'm not going to use the term human race because the term race is a 19th century anthropological term. So I'm not going to say the human race. I'm going to say the human family or the human group. And so with that contamination, with the contamination of sin, and it is imperative to realize that from the Adam to his offspring and to the offspring of the children of the Adam, sin's there. And it is this, we see the working out of sin in what happened in the lives of the first family. Cain slew his brother Abel, and so the first murder was fratricide, the killing of one's brother. And in fact, Abel's name means breath. So thereafter, the Adam and his wife had another child, and his name was Seth. And so thus begins a godly line begins to emerge. And it is interesting because Cain went off, and he also had offspring, of course. And we have the ungodly line of Cain, and we have the godly line of Seth. And for a time, they were separated. Then the separation begins to blur, and finally it disappeared altogether. And so we see in the book of Genesis the first cemetery, and we read the words, "And he died, and he died." We read this in Genesis chapter 5, as I said a moment ago, 8 times. So in Genesis 5:6, we read, When Seth lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years. And then he died. And so we have found clay tablets which attest to the longevity of the antediluvian kings. And there are some other interesting finds that have been made. And let me tell you at this point that no one has found in the fossil record what are called transitional life forms that is never found in the fossil records. But we will get to that in another show. So, most important, so in Genesis chapter 5, we have the first cemetery. The first cemetery. Now, in the Old Testament, sin is not thought of as a condition, but as a definite act, whether a thought, word, or deed. And in Genesis 4, we have a lyric poem. And a lyric poem expresses deep personal feelings. And Genesis 4:22, we read, "And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." And so here is almost a summary of the attitudinal framework of the antediluvian world, or the world before the flood, and what this Lamech illustrates an attitude, a very important attitude, that is going to manifest itself also in Genesis chapter 5 into Genesis chapter 6. But before we get to chapter 6, we have the birth in Genesis 5 of Noah, and Genesis 5:29. His name means rest. And you and I must remember that Jesus is our greater Noah. He is our rest. So Noah is born, and it is he who becomes the father of Shem, Shem, Cam, and Japheth. Chapter 6 tells us that a perverse event occurred when men began to increase the number on the earth and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend or strive with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Noah will spend that time building the Teva, or building the what we call the ark. Verse 4, the Nephilim, or the giants, were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, very key, very important. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward." Word, that is, after the flood, because you would see in the Mosaic materials that when these people of God enter into the promised land, they will find, that is, the spies who went in saw giants, and giants will be present in the promised land. So, very interesting. The I-M suffix, Nephil, the I-M suffix in Hebrew is a plural suffix. So we have the Nephilim, just like in Genesis 1:1, we have in the beginning God. The Hebrew word there is Elohim. Elohim, I-M suffix, plural suffix. And so notice what happens. when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil or ra. The Hebrew word is ra. All the time the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I also want to read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, very important verse as we study flood eschatology or the last things with regard to the flood. Excuse me. So this is Ecclesiastes 8:11. Ecclesiastes 8:11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of people are filled with schemes to do wrong. A very important verse to understand. Because people feel or believe that judgment is delayed, or there will not be immediate consequences to their actions or summary judgment, people are encouraged to do wrong. People become emboldened in their sin. And so we see this and what happens in the book of Genesis and what people were doing. Every imagination of the thoughts of the hearts were only evil continue. And God repented in his heart for having created man. And so because of sinfulness, because of a rejection of God, because God did not want sin in his holy presence, he will get rid of man and he will start anew with Noah and his three sons, and Noah's three sons will. We will read about them in the Table of the Nations, the post-diluvian world, the post-flood world, will be filled with the offspring of the sons of Noah, or rest. So it is very important to understand that the original creation of Genesis 1 was collapsed or overthrown by the flood. And after the flood, God received the recreation of the original creation once again. And so God will bring back from this watery grave, God will bring back a new creation. And we are going to study about the new creation and what God did. We read that God hung up his bow. The rainbow was a symbol that God will never again overthrow the world in such a horrible and cataclysmic manner. So the bow in the clouds was a symbol that the divine warrior had hung up his bow and that he was no longer at war with humanity. We will go into the discussion more on the next show. Good evening. Stop to describe the show. Have a good night.